In Isaiah chapter 23, the team I'm with, each has a function, and we did a medical mission last week in Edo State at Boma. It went very well, and we were able to successfully preach the gospel, and the doctors, the medical team was successful in helping many people received treatment and some surgeries and a lot of medication. But we come here to bring you the gospel of God's grace. And I want to thank your pastor for allowing me to stand here and the elders. And I hope that the word is very clear, very powerful, and very important. And I must remind you, as you obviously hear, my accent is a bit different, so please try to pay careful attention. And if you can't grab everything I'm saying, still stay focused and listen in. And make sure that you get what you can. I'd like to open us in prayer, and then I will read the text and preach the gospel from this portion of scripture. Our Father, as we pray unto you, we ask you to bless us. For his name's sake, your Son, that the Lord Jesus and the work that he did upon the cross would prove sufficient for you in this hour to come down in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have sown. That's what we are now praying, that through the name of Christ and the obedience he offered you, that there be no flesh that glories in your presence, that all glory and honor, it would be his and heart and life in our doctrine, our worship, in the way that we carry ourselves. Show us his glory, that we may be able to honor you. Let us see, our Father, that salvation, it is by grace. We've been saved from the penalty, the punishment, and the power of sin. Help us see that you will save us even from sin's presence one day and send your arrow into the heart of your chosen people. Turn sinners unto repentance for Christ's sake. Get glory unto your name and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. It's in Isaiah, it's in chapter number 23, and I want to read verse number 8 and 9, and our message, it will come from verse number 9. taken this castle against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traders are the honorable of the earth, all the big timers, all the big shots. America, the USA, all nations shall come tumbling down before his glory. Who has taken this counsel? Verse number 9. The Lord of hosts has purposed it. What's the reason that he has purposed this destruction? It's to bring to dishonor the pride of all life, to bring into contempt or ill repute or defamation all the honorable of the earth. That is my message here this morning. This is what God has for us, I'm sure. The title is Dishonor and Contempt. Dishonor and Contempt. And what I want to talk about this morning is the humbling of the pride of all men. All men, all mankind are going to be humbled and are going to be brought down to give glory unto our Lord Jesus Christ eventually. The great day is coming of when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So it is wisdom for us to bow now, because God has really purposed to stain all pride of man, to rub it into the mud and to desecrate it and to make it sacrilegious. And I want to read you another verse that's in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1. Verse number 31 says that as it is written, that's all that matters, is the word of God in Scripture. He who glories, I've got to glory in something. I have to praise something. I have to live for something. I have to love something. And even if I love nothing, I'm still loving something. I have to glory in something. I have to have a reason to make me live. I have to have something that makes me tick. There is something my heart is set upon. It could be my family. It could be the church. It could be my house. It could be my car. It could be my money. It could be my job. For most of us, it's ourselves. But let him glory. If you're going to glory, let him glory in the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the reason of our salvation. He came down here from heaven because we were sinners in a horrible condition. We were desperately wicked and underneath the wrath of God. He had to put our sins in the sacrifice of himself. Because God Almighty is holy and he must punish sin. I was at the medical mission this week, and it was us four, it was me,
Lee. It was my sister, Daisy.
It was Brother Joseph was here. And then over here is another man that's not here now. This man's name is Matthew. He was Equity.
And we're all preaching the same thing. And I'm listening in. And I'm rejoicing. And I'm so happy because of the sister here is in really borrowing from the book of Romans chapter 3. That there's none good, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. There is none righteous. There is none that does good, not one. And then the next day, she's talking about Christ being set forth as a propitiation and appeasement of the anger of the wrath of Almighty God. And what really captured
my mind and my attention is that nobody really knew why Christ Jesus had died upon the cross. If they knew that he had died, and some even said, "For my sins," but they still didn't know what that meant. It means that God Almighty had a plan of salvation for the sins and transgressions that we have done. His glory had to be satisfied.
The eternal God does not forgive sin just because me and you pray for it. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. He does not forgive sins because he's loving. He's loving, so he sent his son to die for the transgressions of men. And his blessed soul, I was made an offering for sin.
And the wrath of God came upon him. Because our sins, if he believed the gospel, they were laid upon him. If we don't believe this gospel, there's no hope for us in Christ. We are currently under the wrath of God. But for every believer, our sins were laid upon him. That's why he died.
It was not merely the hands of man or the nails upon the cross. His soul, it was made an offering of sins. What the scripture says in the book of Matthew chapter 1, and she will bring forth a son. This is verse number 21. This son that is the mighty God, that is the everlasting Father. It's the other brother Matthew at the end was exhorting the whole week, I think it was,
out of Isaiah 9, verse number 6 and 7, and he is wonderful, and he's the counselor, and he is the mighty God. How can a son be given, who's also called the everlasting Father and the mighty God? Because that's the mystery of the Godhead and the Trinity. That God had to die in the equality of his person in Jesus Christ when he became a man. And he's not God the Father, but yes, he is. The mystery of the Godhead. I was talking to a man at the medical mission. And he had received his medication and was hanging around. He was called a cancer man. And he was talking about how he ministers unto and I corrected him.
Is he said it's because they can't understand it. But no man can understand the things of God except to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And the gospel is not preached for our understanding as much as unto the glory of God. And the only reason I understand it is for the glory of God to be satisfied that man who died, he had to be God. He couldn't just be a man. He had to be God, or he's going to take away the eternal sin. But this man, like Jesus, he just stepped up and he could have said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save." This is an absolute. His body don't have any glory in our flesh. He will save. He didn't come here to try unto save people.
You don't mind, sir?
He did not come here to offer himself upon a cross in the hope that somebody might trust him and then now his blood has come. That is not as a wise thing to die. He came as a missionary sent by God on a mission to die and to save his people from our sins by offering up the sacrifice of himself. He pleased God when he made an atonement, and that's why God raised him up from the dead and put him on a throne at the right hand of the Lord. The work was finished when Christ died. And what he said is finished. I paid the price in full. There is nothing else that is required of my people which God shall not give them through my death and my precious blood. There is no possibility of any failure in the Son of God. Impossible that his blood be shed in vain. Impossible that the Almighty God might ever punish that for which he died for a second time. It would never happen. Jesus would never be satisfied if the Lord Jesus Christ was dead, never lived life, and then had to be a savior. That is impossible. That would be injustice with Almighty God. That's why it says he will save his people. He's got to let any elect group of wicked men chosen from the foundation of the world by the eternal God be guaranteed of salvation. That's right. That's what the Edward doctrine is in the Edward history books. It's the doctrine of the gospel. He came to errors. He came to action. And he had people he loved and chose to save with a special love that he had for Peter, whom he prayed for, that he did not have for Judas, whom he said it'd be better for him to have never been born. And the only reason that me and you are in the Lamb of life is because of God. Oh, the Bible says, our names were written from before he made the world. And whoever was not found in the book of life was a worshiper of the devil, blinded by him, and at the judgment in Revelation 20 is cast into the second death, which is the lake of fire. The only reason I'm not going to burn in hell is the Almighty God.
No flesh would live in his presence.
It was God
came to us and gave us the power over our sin. God opened our eyes.
Jesus, Son of David.
and you will be my son.
Oh my God. What a gospel. This is why no flesh shall ever glory in his presence. And in mercy,
he comes unto us now at the gospel. He humbles the heart of man. He sends his law into our hearts. He convicts us. He stains our heart now. Let's be him. He chastises us now. But we're not dead and he did it with the wicked.
But now, here's my last thought. That means you have obtained mercy.
How should we live now? Under the glory of the blessed God. Our gospel is brief, but it's broad.
Our place of worship pays no attention unto the world of anything when we come to worship.
It's for God.
Nothing dictates it to us. We got a Bible, we find it, and nothing else. And the people go away, we God have mercy on their soul. I don't care how much he has in his pocket. We won't compromise the world.
A pastor of the flock,
he wants his people help. But if this medical mission is not preaching the gospel, even though you go take medicine, he should never let you in the pulpit.
Even if he's sick.
Because that's putting his approval on the Very heaven right now, say, Lord Jesus, I did something for you. You helped me out of the Lord. I'm so glad. And when we get into heaven and we meet those that we've actually helped, it's going to be heaven on top of heaven.
And that's what we came here is to bring God to our family.